Welcome back to the News at Noon. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions hosted an open house regarding the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project at the Richland Center High School yesterday. Company representative Brian Radday spoke extensively with me, stating the purpose of their open house, which was voluntary, was to hear from the public so that MGS would be more informed as decisions are being made. Radday pointed out, things are early in the process. MGS, he said, wants to hear from local people, which is why the series of open houses throughout the area was scheduled. Radday stated, Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, began studying this project in 2019 and that MGS was selected to complete the project by MISO through a bidding process. The purpose of this new power line is stated to be to help the overall power grid maintain reliability for homes and businesses. Radday said 75% of the power impacted by the project would be for homes, commercial, and manufacturing facilities. When I asked about local concerns regarding land ownership, the environment, potential impacts on farming, and potential pollution, Radday said, we want parcel-specific feedback. We want to minimize the impact on people and the environment. Everyone will be treated with respect. Any impacted landowner would be compensated fairly. When asked why the proposed line wouldn't utilize an established corridor where existing power lines already are or perhaps along the interstate highway, Radday's response was, paralleling is a first step, but isn't always best. Radday further explained the project MISO submitted for bids calls for the new lines to connect points from the Beloit area to Walworth County to a substation in Portage to Bell Center in Crawford County. There is no straight line, no existing corridor available that would connect the locations called for in the project. With regards to potentially burying the lines rather than utilizing towers along the route, Radday said, burying doesn't work at this voltage, and that MISO did not allow bids to consider burying the lines. When asked about potential health issues for people, livestock, and wildlife, Radday said there have been thousands of studies done over 50 years that show no adverse health effects. When his statement was repeated back to him asking, you said thousands of studies over 50 years, is that correct? Radday's response was, yes, that is correct. There's one on our website from the World Health Organization. Radday also said one of the proposed poles would replace 4 to 5 poles from a 345 kilovolt line, making this project less intrusive than some people may be envisioning. At the conclusion of our conversation, Radday was asked for representatives from MGS to appear on the WRCO morning show, which he verbally agreed to do. We'll have more on that as details become available. Phil Nee has reached out to get that arranged. The Richland Center Planning Commission is scheduled to meet Wednesday, August 26th at 5:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Room to address new business and review recent administrative reports. The primary agenda item for this session is the request from Schreiber Foods for a conditional use permit at 920 Sextonville Road intended to authorize dairy product processing and support planned infrastructure improvements, including whey silo additions and a new intake bay. This request follows the Commission's recent actions in July, where members finalized recommendations regarding the conveyance of 929 West Seminary Street to Lydia's House Ministries, and the proposed ordinance amendment for electronic message center signs on public property. Additionally, the Commission will review the Zoning Administrator's report for July, which details a busy period of permit activity and project inquiries. The Richland School District Board of Education will hold its next regular meeting Wednesday, August 26th at 7 p.m. The session is scheduled to take place in the Richland Center High School IMC. The agenda includes the approval of minutes from the July 22nd meeting, followed by financial items such as the business officials report and the statement of cash and invoices. The board will then move to consent agenda items, which feature several personnel actions, including the hiring and resignation of a second grade teacher and changes to special education staffing. Other consent items cover contract agreements, a memorandum of understanding with Richland County regarding campus gymnasium use, RCHS science credit approvals for pre-vet and plant science courses and open enrollment requests for the 2026-27 school year. After addressing the consent agenda and approving the modified agenda, the board will shift to information and discussion items. These include district vacancies and appointments, high school under-enrolled classes for the first quarter of the upcoming school year, a first reading of new policy operational expectations, technical policy corrections, and an update on referendum projects. The action portion of the meeting will address the referendum budget and change events, NEOLA policy revisions, and the approval of a priority pillar. The meeting will conclude with a closed session to consider employment and compensation matters, including contractual obligations and liquidated damages. There is a community meeting regarding the proposed 765 kilovolt power line project in Richland Center, Wednesday, August 26th at 6 p.m. at the Richland Center City Auditorium. All residents and anyone with interest in this proposed project are invited to attend to discuss and strategize. The meeting has a four-point agenda: review and discuss information provided at Monday's open house held by Mid-Continent Grid Solutions, introduce those involved in opposing the 765 kilovolt line, strategize the next steps, and decide on action to take following the meeting. The Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to announce it will host Corn for a Cause Wednesday, August 26th from 2 to 6 p.m. The event will take place on Park Street, conveniently located outside the hospital's employee entrance, and is open to all members of the public who wish to support a vital local cause. This year's event invites the community to receive fresh sweet corn in exchange for a free will donation, with every dollar raised directly benefiting the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, GRACE. The corn has been generously donated by local Ithaca area farmers Mick and Carly Hipsch, who are contributing their harvest to support the mission of providing aid to local individuals and families impacted by cancer. To ensure a seamless experience for participants, the TRHC GRACE team is offering curbside pickup. Community members can simply drive down Park Street, and volunteers will be on hand to deliver the fresh corn directly to their vehicles. In order to share the bounty with as many people as possible, there is a requested limit of 3 dozen ears per person. For those looking for an extra treat, fresh kettle corn will also be available for purchase, with all proceeds from these sales also going toward GRACE. Sarah Stibbe, the TRHC GRACE team lead, expressed her deep gratitude for the partnership with the Hipsch family. She noted that while this marks the second year Mick has donated corn to the hospital, it's the first time the event has been expanded to include the general public. Last year's internal event was a significant success, raising nearly $1,000 from hospital employees alone. With the invitation now extended to the entire community, the team is optimistic that this year's Corn for a Cause will make an even greater impact in the fight against cancer and the support of local families. The Ramada White House in Richland Center recently marked a significant milestone in community service by successfully gathering 500 individual care packages for military service members. This initiative, which aimed to provide comfort through essentials like toiletries and personal care products, quickly evolved into a dual-purpose mission to support local needs as well. Inspired by the growing momentum of the project, the Ramada team committed to donating $1 to Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination for every care package collected, resulting in a $500 cash contribution to GRACE. The Ramada White House sincerely thanks everyone who donated items, assembled packages, helped spread the word, or supported the project in any way. WRCO News received a notice from the Okooch Mountain Humane Society stating, it's come to the attention of the board of directors for the Okooch Mountain Humane Society that a meeting has been scheduled for Wednesday of this week. While we respect our members' right to request a special meeting under both our bylaws and Wisconsin law, this request is not proper. The board of directors is responsible for facilitating a meeting of this nature and sending notice to our members. The Village of Spring Green Board is set to convene Wednesday, August 26th at 7 p.m. to address a comprehensive agenda ranging from seasonal community events to infrastructure upgrades. The meeting, which will be held at the Village office on North Lexington Street and accessible via Zoom, begins with a consent agenda designed to streamline routine administrative matters. Key items within this portion of the meeting include the approval of the financial report and disbursements, along with several requests for community gatherings. Notably, the board will consider the annual Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair, scheduled for June 2027, which necessitates the closure of Jefferson Street. Additionally, street closure requests for homecoming festivities at The Shed and the St. John's Fun Fest in August 2027 are on the docket for approval. Under the category of old business, the board will revisit the ongoing abatement process for the property located at 433 West Madison Street to evaluate current progress. Members will also continue their deliberations regarding proposed amendments to Ordinance 180, which governs the use of bicycles and play vehicles within the village. These discussions are part of an ongoing effort to ensure local regulations remain current and effective for public safety. The new business segment of the meeting features several significant agreements and infrastructure projects. The board is expected to discuss and potentially act on the police school liaison officer agreement with the River Valley School District, reinforcing the partnership between local law enforcement and educational institutions. Infrastructure remains a priority as the board reviews a professional services agreement with Jewell Associates Engineers for the proposed reconstruction of South Peterson Street. Furthermore, the maintenance of public facilities will be addressed through a proposal to replace the municipal pool filter. The meeting will conclude with an informative presentation by Emily Whitmore, providing the 2026 version of the library data update to keep the board apprised of local library trends and usage. Governor Tony Evers is formally requesting that the Wisconsin State Legislature's Joint Committee on Finance release $10 million from the state's PFAS Trust Fund. These funds originate from a June 2026 settlement with Tyco Fire Products LP following a lawsuit regarding contamination at the company's Fire Technology Center in Marinette. The governor's objective is to provide immediate financial and technical relief to families whose drinking water has been compromised by forever chemicals. The proposed plan, developed by the Department of Natural Resources through community listening sessions, prioritizes the health of residents in the expanded site investigation area. Once the committee approves the release of the funds, the DNR will utilize the money to test private wells, install advanced water treatment systems, and, where necessary, replace contaminated wells. This initiative is designed to complement existing settlement requirements that already mandate Tyco to provide certain long-term remediation and monitoring efforts. Governor Evers emphasized that access to clean water is a fundamental right for every Wisconsinite. This request is part of a broader, years-long effort by the administration to hold polluters accountable and protect natural resources. While this $10 million represents a significant step for the Marinette and Peshtigo areas, the administration continues to pursue separate litigation against multiple chemical manufacturers to address widespread contamination across the state. These efforts, combined with a recently enacted $125 million comprehensive PFAS bill, represent a statewide commitment to mitigation and public health. As the new school year begins, the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, OCMH, emphasizes the vital connection between youth mental health and academic success. Creating a positive school culture where students feel safe, secure, and a sense of belonging is essential, as students spend a significant portion of their lives, roughly 1,000 hours a year, in school environments. OCMH Director Linda Hall notes that school is often the primary source of stress for children, making it critical to teach coping skills for managing homework, social relationships, and busy schedules. Without these tools, students may face anxiety, depression, or disengagement. Another way to strengthen student well-being is through student-led wellness programs. These low-cost programs help students feel connected, spread positive messages, build coping skills, prevent suicide, and provide informal peer support. student-led wellness programs are important complements to comprehensive school-based mental health, and a variety are in place in schools throughout Wisconsin. Find back-to-school resources centered on student mental health in the Child Mind Institute's Back-to-School Resource Guide, available online. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. A blood drive is being held today from now until 5:30 at St. John's Catholic Church Gym in Muscadet. Blood drives will also be held Friday from 9:30 to 1:30 at the Waniwak Public Library, from 11 until 4 at the Lafarge Community Center, and from noon until 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. In an era where digital saturation is now the norm, the simple act of putting down a phone to engage with physical materials has become increasingly rare. A June 2026 survey of 121 mental health practitioners reveals a striking landscape when it comes to adult play. While 82% of clinicians observe that unstructured, screen-free opportunities are vanishing, those who reintroduce them see a powerful sequence of psychological shifts. It begins with a profound hesitation. Many adults view creative play as a childish relic, meeting a tray of sand or a lump of clay with visible caution or mixed feelings. Practitioners describe this as a population out of practice, holding serious work and play in entirely separate boxes, often worrying about the correct way to engage with open-ended materials. However, the data shows that the hardest part is simply the first minute. Once a client moves past the initial resistance and begins the activity, aided by practitioners who model the behavior, remove the pressure of, quote, a right answer, and ensure an easy exit, a consistent pattern of engagement follows 76% of the time. As the body settles, the clinical atmosphere shifts into something more fluid. The most significant result of this engagement is a surge in open verbal communication. By giving the hands a job and the eyes a restful place to land, the intense pressure of face-to-face eye contact is removed. The task becomes a side path into deeper conversation, allowing shy or anxious individuals to discuss difficult subjects while their shoulders drop and their breathing slows. Ultimately, these activities serve as vital tools for emotional expression and regulation. 85% of practitioners find these creative moments most useful for helping clients access and share feelings, while nearly three-quarters use them to ease anxiety and foster present moment awareness. Whether it is rolling clay in a palm or doodling during a breakthrough, the shift from hesitation to playfulness provides a necessary sanctuary from mental fatigue. This practitioner-led snapshot underscores that while adults may have forgotten how to play, the impulse for creative connection remains just below the surface, waiting for the moment the materials are finally set before them. Learn more at OlanderEarthworks.com. Governor Tony Evers, alongside the Wisconsin Department of Administration and the Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, recently celebrated a significant milestone in the state's journey toward a sustainable future with the release of the 2026 Clean Energy Plan Progress Report. This comprehensive document highlights the state's achievements over the past year, focusing on the successful reduction of greenhouse gas emissions through the expansion of clean energy sources. Beyond environmental benefits, the report underscores the economic impact of these initiatives, which have fostered the creation of thousands of new jobs and effectively lowered energy costs for Wisconsin's families. Governor Evers emphasized that these efforts, particularly during 2026, the year of the neighbor, represent a collective commitment to leaving a healthier and more prosperous state for future generations. The report outlines four foundational pathways that guide Wisconsin's energy strategy: accelerating the deployment of clean energy technology, maximizing energy efficiency, modernizing buildings and industry, and innovating transportation. Achievements within these pathways are diverse and impactful. For instance, the state has approved over 7,300 megawatts of solar power and more than 100 megawatts of wind power, since 2019. Additionally, the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program has seen the successful installation of 21 fast charging stations as of mid-2026. Efforts to bolster nuclear fusion energy and the exploration of a green innovation fund further demonstrate the state's commitment to innovative carbon-free solutions that support family-supporting job opportunities and regional economic growth. The Coon Creek Community Watershed Council is set to celebrate a significant dual milestone this fall, the organization's fifth anniversary and the 93rd anniversary of the nation's first watershed conservation project, a historic effort led by Coon Creek residents in the 1930s. To mark the occasion, the local nonprofit is hosting a free community celebration September 2nd at the Backham Farm in Westby. The event will feature live music, a locally sourced farm dinner, and an informative program highlighting local producers and conservation partners. All members of the community are welcome to attend. Orland Backham, who is hosting the celebration alongside his wife Denise, emphasizes the ongoing need for conservation efforts, reflecting on the past 5 years. Backham notes that while interest in watershed conservation is growing, broader participation in controlling runoff through soil health techniques remains critical. Backham highlights that effective conservation is personal and adaptable, sharing that his own goals focus on preventing erosion and building soil health on his multi-generational family farm. This summer, Backham partnered with UW Extension Agriculture and water quality specialist Sherry Schwert to study soil erosion on his fields. By using perennial buffer strips along the contours of his sloping land, the pair measured the effectiveness of their conservation methods. They plan to demonstrate their low-tech measurement technique and discuss the study results during the September 2nd program. The gathering kicks off with appetizers, drinks, and music at 5:30 p.m. The program will follow at 6 p.m. with dinner served at 7. The Backham Farm is located at E6136 Jor Road in Westby. Guests are kindly encouraged to bring their own lawn chairs and picnic wear. We have two new winners today in the Grace calendar drawing. They are on ticket 2050, Christine Tomei from Shorewood, Wisconsin, and John Alexander on ticket 173. John is from Richland Center. Congratulations to the two new $50 winners.